Hello there, Velorutionaries. Welcome to Bikescape. It's episode 41, and today is January 28th, 2006.
What's missing from this picture? It's just me, without my bike!
Okay, we're here at Justin Herman Plaza under the palm trees. It's 6:15, last Friday of the month. We're walking around talking to people about their bicycles. Why they ride them, what they think of them, why they like them. All right. That was perfect. What's your name and what's your bike? Tell me about your bike, what it is and which way you like it.
My name's Dan. I have a Raleigh. Circa, I don't know, probably around my age. I'm 28 years old.
It's about 1970 or so.
That's,
there,
what,
75,
I, that's
yeah.
what I'm thinking. I got it because I'm just in San Francisco briefly, and I wanted to ride in critical mass.
Uh-huh.
And I asked a friend who had 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 a bike, and I went to pick it up, and it's lavender.
Yeah, it's beautiful.
it's got a lavender seat. It's all painted lavender. My favorite part is that the wheels are actually black and lavender striped.
The tires, yeah. That's
tires
pretty cool, yeah.
Yes, believe it or not.
Oh, do you have a coaster brake on
I
that?
I do. Oh, yeah, sorry.
Oh, okay,
yeah,
I thought
sorry.
That was a fixie, huh?
Yeah. I have a coaster brake. It's a one-speed with a coaster brake. It's a full-size bike,
uh-huh.
but it's basically what we think of as a kid's bike, usually.
It's beautiful. They don't make them like that anymore.
They sure don't. They certainly don't paint them lavender, although I suspect some there are people around who would fix it up for you if you wanted that.
Yeah, but this is Cherry. This is like the original, huh?
I believe so.
Made in Nottingham, England. All right, well, thanks.
Thank you.
All right. What's your name?
David.
Hi, David. What kind of bike is that?
It's a put-together conversion fixed gear bike. 1980s Falcon of England frame with some deep V velocity rims that happen to be white, with some Suzy Pro Mat hubs, a medium grade Shimano bottom bracket, Shimano 600 cranks. The pedals are a mystery to me. I don't know what they are, actually.
I don't either.
But they're nice.
They work.
I'm riding my fixed gear at a 48.17.
Okay, you guys can do the math, figure out the gear inches. I don't know what that is.
That's
48.15. That's pretty steep.
I don't want to like make myself look stupid. Anyhow, yeah.
Why do you like it?
Why do I like my bicycle? Because it gets me around. I get VIP parking wherever I go. It's a nice exercise. My bike's pretty sexy looking.
It is. It's very pretty.
And it's the main thing about the fixed gear is to get the cadence down. I'm going to be doing some long rides in the summertime, so I really want to get my cadence. And I figure if I ride over the bridge, you know, I'm actually riding twice as far as the next person riding a 10-speed because there's a lot of coasting time, and I'm continuously pedaling.
Right, so, and you work hard going down the hill, too.
Yes, I do, and it's almost like zen for me because riding the fixed gear, it's like the bike's really, you're really one with the bike. You know, you talk to professional skaters, they're like, their skateboard becomes their feet become the skateboard. It's the same difference.
And yeah.
Riding without a brake, too, is a different ride. It forces you to pay attention. It's not for aesthetics, and it's not to be the cool guy on the street, you know. It's just a different ride, you know.
And you sort of find yourself like learning to shoot the tube every now and then, like a surfer, I guess. You see a situation, I mean, you're sort of thinking escape routes all the time.
Yeah, exactly.
It's kind of an interesting way
to think about riding. It's a fun ride, you know. And I've noticed, like, with my reaction time with the brake opposed to just like my feet, I think I'm a little bit quicker with my feet, you know, than just reacting to it, you know. And I'm not like sitting around like looking like seeing what's to the side of me. I'm like in this like euphoric state where I'm like calculating every move and knowing what cars are going to do. And one day maybe I'll have an accident, you know. It's bound to happen in San Francisco, but so what?
Yeah, probably won't get her. As long as you don't hit your head too hard.
Yeah.
All right, well, thanks.
No problem, man.
Bicycle stories?
Well, I'm asking people to describe their bicycle. And this is they're both quite interesting.
All right.
And tell me why you like them. You want to go first? What's your name?
My name's Thomas.
Hi, Thomas.
And I have a Bridgestone mountain bike here. It's one of the original mountain bikes. It's the MB1 model.
Beautiful.
And I got it not knowing anything really about mountain bikes.
Without knowing it?
Right. I got it at an auction, actually. And I got it for $8, and $6 of that was the California bike registration fee. So it's sort of a $2 bike. And I like it. It's very inexpensive and doesn't look terribly good, so the chances of it getting stolen are a lot less, which is definitely a draw to this bike. But at the same time, it's sort of a good solid bike that gets me around. Nothing too fancy, but
you just use it for commuting. Do you take it off road or anything?
I do a little bit of off road. I mean, this is my only bike, so you know, I like going on mountain bike rides as well. I sort of compromised on the tires and got the wide tires, but they're smooth, so you know, you can still do some off road, but it rolls fairly nicely on the ground.
Yeah, that's nice. Yeah. All right, well, thanks.
Sure.
Very nice. And then your bike. I don't understand. What's the deal with this thing? What's your name, first of all?
Bart.
Bart, hi.
It's a folding bike.
Oh, it folds. Oh, is it one of those? It's got a hinge in the middle?
That's right.
Oh, okay.
That's right.
Wait, I still don't get it. It bends right there?
Oh, yeah. Well, let's see.
It's a Dayhan, but I've never seen one quite like this. Oh, it disconnects. There's a bar on the top that disconnects. What's the exact name of the bike? I'll include a picture of it from there.
You tell me. The home?
I'll find it. Oh, the Espresso. So it's got full-size wheels on it, though. It's a folding bike that It just folds in half, basically, huh?
Yeah, so it makes it a little more compact, so you can get it in your car a little easier.
And you can take it on BART at all, during commute hours, too, I understand.
Yeah.
You fold it.
Yeah, probably so. I mean, it's not that much smaller than a regular bike, but...
Yeah, just the rules are that it has to be a folding bike.
But, well, it's a folding bike, so it follows the rules.
Oh, very nice. Well, thanks.
Yeah.
Okay. Okay, your name's Oscar?
Oscar, yeah. Hi, how you doing?
Fine, thanks. Tell me about your bike.
It's a Jamis. It's a Quest. It's got Shimano 105. It's okay. It's my commuter.
Uh-huh.
Gets beat up a little bit. Get probably about one flat a week.
Oh, really?
Yeah, I got to get some better tires. I keep saying that, but I never do.
Armadillos.
Yeah, armadillos.
I like the armadillos.
Yeah, I got to do it. I really like this bike. It climbs. It's got a little bit of carbon on it. Super fun. I got it probably about a year ago.
And you commute all the time on it?
I commute all the time.
Rain
every
or
day.
Shine?
5 days a week.
Yeah, I see you on the bike shuttle.
Yeah.
So you work in Oakland or Berkeley?
I work in Oakland, and I live here in San Francisco. I take the bike shuttle every day.
Ah, that's great.
Art rules.
Yeah, Art. I interviewed him for another podcast.
Yeah.
Oh, that's great.
Yeah.
It's a nice bike.
Yeah.
Okay.
It's a really big mountain bike, and I got my fancy seat on here with the built-in lights.
Oh, yeah.
Very exciting.
Bianchi, huh?
Yep. And then I have pretty much as many stickers as I could possibly fit on here, like buy local, organic, fair trade.
Wait, say that again? What does the sticker say?
Buy organic, local, and fair made.
Uh-huh.
And bring organic home from the California certifiers.
Uh-huh.
I have one that says mend your foolish ways with a car. And no peace, no justice from global exchange.
Oh, that's great. And I like this one on here. There's a yellow one that I advertise on my website. What does that one say?
Bicycling, a quiet statement against oil wars.
Okay.
And all right. I also have a KyotoUSA.org, Act to End Global Warming, on my bike.
Great. So you got it all. You got to hear all your politics without even a bumper to put a sticker on.
Exactly.
Excellent.
They go on the bike because there is no car.
Yeah, it's very, very visible. What's your name?
Fiamma.
Fiamma. Well, thanks.
Thank you.
All right, thanks.
Bye.
My name is Fernando.
Fernando, tell me about your bicycle.
My bicycle is Macy. Because it's my.
It's Macy.
Yes.
It's a
Haro.
A Haro.
It's expensive bike.
A BMX bike.
Yes, because I'm paying $1,100.
You paid what? $1,100 for
yes.
that? That's really nice.
And it's expensive, and I love it.
Yeah, look at that headset. Really nice.
Woo! Look.
Why do you love it?
Because I don't have another one.
He's spinning though. He's spinning.
Because I don't have another one.
You can jump off a building on that thing. It wouldn't break.
You see me in the street later.
Okay.
I'm going to do a trick.
Oh, let me see. Oh, yeah, I like to see that.
Yeah, I'm going to do like woohoo.
All right.
I'm going to play with my bike tonight.
Critical Mass is the right place for woohoo.
And I'm gay.
All right, okay. I'll pass that on to everybody.
They're looking for my girlfriend too. I can find her.
All right.
Thank you.
Take it easy.
I love you.
All right. Bye-bye. Whose bike is this?
This bike is the property of Box Dog Bikes.
Oh, Box Dog, I know that place.
Yeah, we're a worker-owned collective, and this was the bike that was one of the many tandems that was left in the bike shop when we bought the bike shop from the previous owner at Yield Bike Shop. It was hanging from the ceiling, and we took it down.
Is it a folding tandem?
It is not a folding tandem.
It just looks like it should be.
It was found by this crazy bike racer named Jan, and he gave it to... the bike hut for a little while. It then was rented out by Victor at the bike hut for at least a year, if not a number of years, and then it made its way to Yield Bike Shop, and now it's finally found its way to Box Dog Bikes, and it's rideable, even though it only has 5 speeds. During Halloween, it was dressed up as a camel.
It's got what, like 20-inch wheels on it?
It's got 20-inch wheels on it. It's a short bike.
But it's a tandem.
It's called the Meyer Renter.
Yeah, is that...
And it's a tandem.
Did Victor name the bike Meyer Renter? Is that really what
Renter.
It's called?
I think it might be really called the Meyer Renter. It's by Miata. I think that the hand grips might say Meyer Renter or Miata on them.
There is like a 1965 old Bianchi folding bike that looks kind of like that.
Oh, yeah?
But just one. So why do they call it box dog bikes?
We have a dog, and her name is Coco, and she was kind of fat when we first got her. So we we were thinking of all, we had probably 50 different titles for our bike shop, and then all of a sudden one person said, what about Box Dog? Box Dog Bikes, because Coco's so fat, she's shaped like a box.
Okay.
And it sounded good. After people understand what it is, they remember it really easily.
I'll have to do a show just about Box Dog Bikes one of these days.
Oh, thanks.
All right, well, thanks.
Yeah.
I have a podcast about bicycles, and I'm collecting stories about people's bicycles, and I see four unusual bicycles here. Do you want to describe it? Tell me why you like it.
I can tell you about mine. Yeah, this is a Huffy, steel Huffy frame that was probably built about 40 years ago. I mean, I bought it used. And
they had Huffies that long ago?
Yeah. I mean, this is what turned into the original mountain bike. It was guys were racing these things down Pine Mountain in the 70s, but then they brazed on derailleurs and cantilever brakes. But I bought this thing about 8 years ago. It's probably done about 50 critical mass rides, and I think about 8, maybe even 10 Burning Mans. And it
you
also
got all the dust off from Burning Man, huh?
Yeah, which is no mean feat. It's you've got to scrub it with industrial cleaner. But and then I went to New Orleans, drove a bus to New Orleans for Mardi Gras about 3 years ago, which is where I got all of the.
So it's covered
Mardi
in beads. I got to describe this.
Mardi
you got
Gras
about
beads, or pretty much all over anything that's not going to end up in the spokes.
Uh-huh.
And so these are real Mardi Gras beads. These weren't. These are really from New Orleans. Yeah, this thing.
And you got pegs in the back? You can carry a passenger, stand-up passenger?
Exactly. You can take passengers on the back or just for goofing around doing tricks. Not really like BMX style, but yeah, I rode my old girlfriend around on the back, standing up, holding onto my shoulders at Burning Man about 3 or 4 years ago for probably 3 or 4 days of the two of us on this thing. And it's heavy as a tank, but can't kill it.
Yeah.
Everyone should have one.
Yeah, I need a cruiser or something. some kind of big, heavy monster bike.
Yeah, man, you've got a nice little ride, too.
Oh, well, yeah. Anybody can buy one.
Yeah.
not anybody can buy yours, though.
No, it's one of a kind.
And then whose bamboo bike is this over here?
This is ours.
Oh, it's yours.
Come a little closer, please. What's your name?
I'm Cynthia.
Cynthia.
And my husband likes to shop on eBay.
You got that on eBay? Oh, yeah, you
can get
lots of stuff on eBay.
It's an eBay bamboo. We think it may be from the 1970s, and it's only our second ride and our first
critical mass.
What's so that in the back? Is that
it's got
on
a
the
drum
back?
Brake.
Oh, that's a drum brake. Okay. But it's basically, it's a single speed with
single
a drum brake.
Speed,
what's
yeah.
the advantage of it? Why do people like, what was the deal with bamboo frames? Other than that, they're really cool.
Yeah, I think
are
that's
they stronger
about
than it. Steel or something? Are they?
I don't think so. You cannot take them in the rain. So if it was raining tonight, we wouldn't have been here. But I don't really know. I think maybe it was just part of the culture, and maybe this was even used for display. We don't really know.
Do you know where it's from?
Well, it's originally from China. The bike itself. It says right here on the sticker, made in China. But
okay.
We think it was exported somewhere else, and then maybe the bamboo was put on to demonstrate the skills of the craftsman.
I guess
and it might not, you know, it might have been just made as a display model, but we decided to ride it anyway.
It's a thing of beauty and a good conversation starter. Yeah, because I've seen one. There's one similar to this in the window over at. Over in the East Bay, over at Missing Link Bikes, Missing Link
really?
Bicycles. Yeah, they got one in the window. They've had it there for years.
A woman just told us there's one in Upper Haight somewhere in one of the windows.
Oh, yeah.
So we're going to go take a look.
And then you got a tall bike over here.
Yeah.
Why don't you describe it? Because some people don't know what a tall bike is.
Well, it's basically two adult frames on top of one another.
You welded it.
Welded it together. Uh-huh. And there's really no reason behind it other than just to be different.
Well, It's like having an SUV. You can get up high for the view.
That's true.
You can see
you're
all
above the SUVs, actually.
It's an SUV, I guess.
But I really enjoy it. You know, it makes people smile. That's really.
Yeah, you get a lot of attention on the street.
You get a hell of a lot of attention, more than I want. But
yeah, you like it, don't you?
Well, I guess so. For the introvert that I am.
So the front, you actually have the old fork is still attached to the...
Well, yeah,
oh, I can't even begin to describe it.
Yeah, you can't. You have to see it. I'm sorry for the podcasters.
But you're up about twice as high as you would normally be. And the bottom bracket is actually the middle bracket on Spike.
Yeah, the bottom bracket. It's a road bike on the top, a Peugeot road bike, and a GT mountain bike on the bottom. I was actually inspired by the bike rodeo that's held in Golden Gate Park during the summer.
Yeah.
And I rode a full suspension tall bike, and at that point I said, I gotta have one.
Full suspension.
Full suspension. It was awesome. Yeah. What are you riding?
This is a Soma track bike. Anybody can buy one if they went to a store and had to hand it over the money.
Cool.
So, I did put... My friend Bike Dave and I put it together. Bike Dave put it together. I had nothing to do. I just stood there and drank beer while he put it together. So,
awesome.
But, yeah.
This is a little fender, that little part back there?
Yeah, it keeps the rain off my back.
Oh, okay.
I got caught in the rain this morning.
Oh, yeah. It was wet this morning.
Yeah, so that was Critical Mass, the beginning of Critical Mass in San Francisco. January Critical Mass. It was a pretty big one, somewhere between 1,000 and 2,000 people. I don't know. Let's just say it was about four blocks, shoulder to shoulder, pretty dense four blocks of big Market Street taking over the street. That many blocks. I'd say that was probably about 2,000, but people I talked to said it was about 1,000. Anyway, very big for January, I would say. And it bodes well for the summer, and I'm not so sure why all of a sudden Critical Mass has regained its popularity here in San Francisco. Not that it was ever unpopular, but it's just getting really big. And I think my theory is that it's just the last flash of freedom and liberty in this country. It's sad to say. Maybe that'll change. Maybe it's the beginning of something fresh. So, as well as an old tradition here in the city of San Francisco. So we left Justin Herman not long after I stopped recording, and I decided to put the MP3 player in my pocket and just enjoy the ride. So that's what I did. We went over to the place where Sarah Tucker tragically was met her end. She died on the road at the hands of a red light runner. He's driving a black CRV, mini SUV, black, and it's got a big dent in the door. So if you see it, he left the scene of the crime. It was a hit and run, so we're looking for it here in San Francisco. He'll bring it out of the garage eventually, and when you see it, please call the cops. That's too bad about Sarah. There was a memorial ride a few weeks ago, about a week ago, and I recorded it, and I decided not to do it. I didn't want to. It was just too emotional. Too many people who knew her were there, and I just didn't want to. It just seemed not right. But I would like to dedicate this podcast to her memory. I know that she was a prominent person in certain circles in San Francisco, so... Too bad about Sarah. After that, the ride went up the hill. We climbed some major hills, but it was all rewarded with a ride down the world's crookedest street, Lombard Street, here in San Francisco. If you want to see what it looks like during a mass, there is a movie, a little 3-minute Super 8 movie that's up on archive.org, and I will provide a link to it in the blog, bikescape.blogspot.com. It's a Super 8 movie that was made by Jim Swanson. It's about 15 seconds long, and it was made in daylight. This was in the dark, and it was just beautiful. This big cascade, a big waterfall of red blinkies going down this hill. And I did record that, so I'll play that for you here. We're standing here right now at the world's crookedest street, or actually the world's second crookedest street in San Francisco, as Critical Mass weaves down the hairpin turns, the 30 hairpin turns in one block. They're fishtailing, there's squeaky brakes, people screaming and yelling. Red blinky lights flashing in a zigzag pattern all the way down the hill and gathering in a little pool at the bottom. Those of us who don't want to fishtail down the road have to walk down on steps. The road is so steep that the sidewalk has steps. Thank you.
Okay, a little old Bay Area music, Tower of Power, in the background there. Can you hear it okay? I don't want to drown myself out. This is all manually done. It's all one big workaround, this podcast here. Next podcast will be done on GarageBand, the new version, but I haven't got it yet. So I'm hoping for a more professional sound when that happens. Okay, letters. We get letters. Scott Mace wrote in. Righteously indignant, and maybe rightfully so. The podcast I did a couple months back about crossing the bay, he thought that my comments about Bart were, what did he say? It was horrifyingly one-sided, he said. And, well, that's true. It's my podcast. I can say what I want. But, yeah, there are reasons why bikes aren't allowed on BART during rush hour, and maybe I could have looked for some more reasons why that can, you know, why the other side of the story. So if you want to read about some of Scott's stuff, he's got a blog. I will put a link to it on bikescape.blogspot.com. Urbification.blogspot.com is his blog, and he might have some stuff about BART and bikes. If he doesn't now, he will soon. Leave him a comment, ask him to whatever, and we like to be criticized here at Bikescape. Bike Summer. I got an email from New York. Everybody's wondering where the next Bike Summer is going to be. No city has stepped up to the plate yet. So if you're in a position and you feel inclined, you live in a city like maybe Philadelphia, maybe Miami, New Orleans, maybe New Orleans next year, they can handle it. There are lots of cities with lots of bike culture, and this will be your chance to show off your city, all that you have to offer to bikes and bike culture. Bike culture, by the way, in answer to someone else's question, I just want to say bike culture includes everybody on a bike. Everybody you heard at Justin Herman Plaza getting ready to ride at Critical Mass, all those different kinds of bikes. Some of those people were wearing spandex, some were wearing baggy shorts, some were in business suits. There were people in costumes, and you know, it's all manners of people there, all different ages. It's all bike culture. That's the Bikescape credo. So that's in response to someone who wrote that didn't like. I think Naomi last week was talking about people. She wasn't used to seeing certain kinds of people in the streets in New York during the transit strike. And it was refreshing, I think, for her to see people, you know, who normally race on the weekends out in the suburbs riding, commuting to work. And it might be something unusual that she sees in New York. Ken Hoglan wrote about this wonderful contraption. It's a coffee bar bike. It's one of those little coffee bars that you see on the street, but it's got a recumbent bike attached to it. So I will put a link to a picture of it. It looks pretty cool. The calendar of events. Let's open up some windows here on the computer. Oh, one thing. I listed a bunch of great podcasts on the last entry in the show notes on the blog. I neglected to include the NBG Mountain Movers podcast series. So that's a really good podcast. Check it out. There's an interview with John Vandertine, who's been mentioned, but we never got an interview with him, so he's out there. You can hear that. High Wheels, riding a high wheel bike. There's all sorts of great podcasts on this, in this series. So he's at bikeroute.com/NBG podcast. Check it out. That's that. And then what else have we got here? Open up some more windows. The chain of events from the Bicycle Coalition. They'll be folding up the Tube Times. There's going to be a folding party at Volunteer Night Wednesday, February 1st, 5 to 8 p.m. at their headquarters at 995 Market Street, up on the 15th floor. It's a lot of fun. They'll give you pizza. They got 5,000 newsletters to fold, and the various membership maintenance to tackle, and all this kind of database stuff. And it's a great social occasion. Fun. Speaking of fun, Love on Wheels, Thursday, February 9th. I guess it's pretty close to Valentine's Day. The SFBC's popular Love on Wheels event is returning Thursday, February 9th. Don't miss the hottest dating game in town. Four extra special dating games, music, and prizes. It's an SFBC fundraiser, but members get in free, and non-members pay $7 to $10 sliding scale, or they can join the SFBC at the door, and they'll get in for free. And, of course, there's free valet parking out on the sidewalk. So, I wouldn't know about it. Been married, same person for 17 years now. But if you're single, that would be a great place, because, you know, you don't really want to date someone who drives, do you? You want to be with another cyclist. It's definitely a good way to get started on a relationship. We're going to have to do a show about bicycle dating one of these days. It's on the back burner, but it'll come to the front one of these days. Audubon, Emeryville to Richmond bicycle trip. The Audubon Society has a birding trip Saturday, February 11th, 8:30 a.m. They meet at the Aquatic Park at the southernmost part at Bay and Potter in Berkeley. You can bird at the Aquatic Park, and you cross over the SF Bay Trail and south to Emeryville and survey the East Shore State Park, and from there to Richmond, where we will be participating in the bird census. Bring a bicycle lock, sunscreen, lunch, and liquids. Sounds like fun. A lot of stuff happening, considering it's still winter. Saturday, February 11th at 10 a.m., the Golden Gate Bridge Discovery Tour. You meet at McLaren Lodge in Golden Gate Park at Stanion and Fell. And it says, discover all the fun stuff on and around the Golden Gate Bridge by joining us on this ride. The highlights will include Baker Beach, the Presidio, Fort Point, the Bay Area Discovery Museum, the Marin Headlands, and, of course, the bridge itself. The ride will be more of a recreational ride than an educational tour, but it sounds like a lot of fun. The difficulty is rated as moderate, about 10 to 15 miles, 2 or 3 hours. Doesn't sound too bad. They say to please wear a helmet and plenty of snacks and water. And if you contact Brandon Ronach at dbarchitect.com, he can give you more information. Okay, what else have we got here? Let's move somewhere else. Bear with me, folks. That's it. That's it for the letters to the editor and the news, the calendar news, and that's about it. Another bit of sad news. Bike Talk Radio out of Davis, California, just did its last broadcast. Everybody loved Bike Talk. From the biking capital of the world, or so they say, over there in Davis, California. And we're going to be mourning the loss. If there's anybody who wants to get out news from the Davis area, send it to me in the meantime, and I'll try and get it out. You can even all of you everywhere can send me audio files. I always say that. I've gotten one so far. But if you have news and you want to, you can make a tape or MP3, ideally, email it to me and I'll get it on the air. Someone named Jim Vanderveen out there in Davis is looking to pick up the torch. So he's checking into it. If you check my blog, I will send bikescape.blogspot.com. I will send you to him. I believe he's put a comment on my last episode. So check it out and give him some advice about what you'd like to see in a show, or, you know, if you think that it's necessary or whatever. He's volunteering, so check him out. And what else have I got for you? We're running into some time here. Down low glow are these wonderful lights. This is a commercial, by the way, but I don't get any money for it. But this is a product I like, and people I like. But it's the Fossil Fuel people. They make this wonderful... If you live in San Francisco, you may see some lights. It's a San Francisco-based company. Lights at the bottom of, like, lowrider lights on the bottom of bicycles. And you should go to their website, and it's fossilfuel.com, and check it out. It's the only safety light bikers can't wait to use. That's their slogan. And not only that, but Paul the Fossil Fuel, Fossil Fuel the bike rapper, he goes by, has entertained. He's got this bike that he rides around town here. He's got a cruiser bike with a blender on the back. He'll make you a daiquiri, pedal-powered daiquiris and whatever. Great, interesting guy. He leads cruiser ride in the summertime. When that starts happening, I'll let you know. And he's also a rapper. And I'm going to play his music now. Take it easy. Take the lane, everybody.
You know where to find me. Just look for the blue lights. This one goes way back to my days on the campus. So what do I like? I like to ride on my bike. I zip along the boulevard and down the turnpike. I like the sound of my tires as they hit the blacktop. I disregard the signs if they tell me to stop. I like raising hairs, riding downstairs. So what's this life worth if you ain't got no flair? In the saddle, I pound on my pedals. My grips are rubber and my frame is metal. I slam off the curb and I kiss down gently. Yo, I'd rather have my bike than be driving a Bentley. And when I got to Berkeley, I thought it would be the same, that I could keep on riding and play my favorite game. But the situation here wasn't really that kind. I was shocked and dismayed when I first saw the sign saying no bikes in the quad. Hey, no bikes in the quad. There ain't no bikes in the quad. There ain't no bikes in the quad. There ain't no bikes in the quad. Well, there ain't no bikes in the quad. Well, I admit that there are a few cases or more when my two-wheel propulsion just ain't apropos. Like when a group of foreign tourists or Russian dignitaries or pocket drag queens just as the tooth fairy are blocking my way as I careen down the path at number 30 to one. Well, you do the math, so I step out of the pedals. Yeah, I make that hard choice. Even billionaires don't always ride the Rolls Royce. Yeah, I can suck it up when safety's on the line, but don't you start telling me to walk it every time, cause you clearly ain't getting the point of my rhyme, which is to show my allegiance to my favorite crime. And there's no bikes in the quad. And there's no bikes in the quad. And there's no bikes in the quad. And there ain't no bikes in the quad. Well, I love it when the cops blow the whistle real loud. I pretend to daydream or like my head's in the cloud. He can throw his cords out saying no bikes in the quad. I turn around and say, shut up, your piece of lard. As I whiz right by him and I pull him off. And I pop a little wheelie just to show my stuff, because there's no bikes in the quad. And there's no bikes in the quad. Well, one day all this tension came to a head as early in the morning past the library I sped merrily along on my two-wheel thing. Completely unaware cops had planted a sting. They had a gracious stick out at every single corner, hadn't called in the reinforcements all the way from Georgia. Heard the buzzer walkie-talkies, and that's when I knew my career as a bicycle bandit was true. And 3 seconds later I confirmed my hunch as $30 was written, but out at once I knew it was over. I would need a Land Rover to get through these cops tracking me down like Jehovah. The sight was so scary that I thought I might faint, but instead I wiped my chain and smeared raw paint all over my face just to let them know I wouldn't go easy. Thought of it still makes me feel a little queasy. I stood up, raised my voice, and shook my fist to greet him. And you can take my bike, but you can't take my freedom, cause there's no bikes in the quad. And 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 there's no bikes in the quad. Well, I wish I could say that I made it out okay, but that wasn't in the cards on this fateful day. My attempted escape was this close to being real. What wasn't though was Stucky's Billy Club in my wheel. My plot through the air at this particular junction could only be described by a trigonometric function, and as if matters could not get any more swelly, I dove headlong into old Pillow Valley, who promptly handcuffed me and rendered my rights. I stayed in prison for 47 nights. I got clinical depression and I failed on my test. My girlfriend dumped me and my life was a mess, because there's no bikes in the quad. Ain't no bikes in the quad. There's no bikes in the quad. And there ain't no bikes in the quad. Oh, Berkeley trying to tell me no bikes in the car. Oh, my God trying to tell me no bikes in the quad. Old alumni trying to tell me no bikes in the quad. It's for your own safety because the pavement is hard. Well, if I did need an extra mother or two, I'll be sure to pick up the phone and call on you. But that ain't the reason why I came to this school. So be kind, be cool, and revoke the rule that says no bikes in the quad. No bikes in the quad. No bikes in the quad. Well, there ain't no bikes in the quad. Yeah, yeah. All right.
How's the level? Can you guys hear the words and everything?
Oh, yeah.